5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ Noah's out here with me at Herman Park as we are live for the Lucille's 1913 Big Golf Tournament. We've been here before. Was it last year we were here, Lance, or the year before? Which one was it?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think it was the year before.
The year before, where you were dropping really ugly words, and there was this group of young girls in their school uniforms sitting right next to us. Mm-hmm. And you were saying ugly, ugly words.
Yeah, that's right. You learned some hard lessons early on.
Well, no.
I made a comment. I was doing an imitation of somebody, and I just basically let them know, hey, this is how life's going to be. Toughen up.
No, okay? How about
or if not,
nice
you're going to be Kyrie Irving running around.
Table.
Kyrie Irving running around just upset all the time.
You were the Kyrie Irving of this, of golf.
No,
of
they
Park.
Are. No, they are.
You're the one flipping them off right in front of the little
tough,
kids.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm the Boston Celtics fans of Herman Park.
So you're the Kyrie Irving of Herman. Maybe I'm James Harden because I stay out all night and then I come to work the next day. By the way, Lent's over. What? Yep. Started last night. What?
Am I on, RJ?
Are you on what? Lance can't hear anything now?
Yeah, okay. I was turning my gain down. I may have turned it all the way down where I couldn't hear in the headphones. Have I been on the entire time?
Yeah, you've been on the whole time. Yeah.
Okay. I must have turned my headphones all the way down to nothing. good thing I didn't Celtic fan it again.
Yeah, you try. Well, you did hear me talking about those little girls that felt ears were bleeding after you were in here.
You called me Kyrie. Are you familiar with what Kyrie had the issues with Celtics fans?
Yeah, but Kyrie's the one flipping off, and there's little kids in the stands. Kyrie is teaching
them
things.
That's what I'm saying. He was sensitive. No. It was the fans who were doing the ugly words. That's me. I'm the ugly word side.
Celtics fans would not have any ugly words. Celtics fans don't have ugly words.
He's the sensitive side. I've got ugly words for start. I've got some ugly words for Astros pitchers right now.
Really? Justin Verlander, 8 innings, 3 hits?
That's your one guy. Okay, go now do Jake Odorizzi.
No. Okay, did you learn a couple of things this weekend with the Astros? Like I told you, JV's going to be okay. And you were so worried. Oh, JV, 37, he hasn't pitched in 2 years. He looks great.
Hey, I wasn't.
He looks awesome.
So let's be careful about
one game.
You were
scared
a little
bit. Yeah. You were scared.
Okay, now I'm scared. Now do your Seattle Mariners thing. Cause that's what
you should be. Like
so now,
I told
tell me
you.
How scared I am, and now you be scared.
No, like I told you, that's a pretty good baseball team. I ain't scared of them. All I'm telling you is a really good baseball team. This is going to be a tougher division than we've seen in the last 5 years.
Jake Odorizzi is bad. Jake, you're right. Jake Odorizzi is bad.
Jake Odorizzi's terrible.
He sucks.
Jake Odorizzi
has
been terrible since he got
here. Now I told you.
Look
that guy should
James.
Not even be. He should be DFA'd. The whole lot of them.
Did I make that?
Friday.
Do I look like Dusty
Pedro
Baker to
Baez,
you?
DFA'd.
Do I look like Dusty Baker
DFA'd.
To you?
DFA'd. Brian
Do you
Abreu,
think I would have started
DFA,
him the way
beat it,
Christian Javier is pitching? Okay,
beat it. I told you that. You want him in the bullpen. Get rid of Jake Odorizzi. The all of them that pitched on Friday, the lot of them out. DFA. Abreu sucks. Baez sucks, and Odorizzi sucks.
Well, Baez is terrible.
I'm glad. Put them all in there together. Get them all out together. Baez can't throw hotter than 88 miles an hour.
Oh, my God. He is throwing up meatballs. Let me ask you a question.
Meatballs.
Let me ask you a question. James Click's great acquisitions. Ready? Start. No. Come on. Let's go.
Nico Goodman?
James Click's great acquisitions. You could say maybe Maton, who was great in the postseason last year.
Yeah,
Maton was great.
I don't know.
Hector Neris looks like a pretty good.
I don't know how tight his hands are. His hands may be tied by ownership. I just know that what we've seen over the last 2 years has been, it has not been a rebuilding or retooling. It has just been try to stem the flow of the Astros' decline. Try to slow their decline by adding much lesser pieces than what the Astros gain. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what people are giving him credit for on Twitter over the weekend? James Click knows what he's doing. Look at Peña. James Click knows what he's doing, Peña. First of all, the Cardinals create a decision has nothing to do with James Click. It's
James
all
Click
the ownership thing. James Click did not draft Jeremy Peña either. So I don't know why James Click and Peña are somehow locked together. The Peña thing is locked to what the owner wanted to do.
That's not it. Listen, owners make $300 million decisions, not general managers, period, exclamation point. Mm-hmm. And Scott Boras, one of the first things he told Carlos Correa was, yeah, I talk directly to the owners. I don't talk to the general managers. And it was Jim Crane who decided, and you know what? And right now, rightfully so. Jeremy Peña was the right call. He's literally 700,000 is 1/50th of 35 million. 1/50th. So he is 1/50th of the value. And you're going to have Tucker and Yordan. If Yordan ever comes back, you're going to have to pay them eventually. You know, you're going to have a lot of contract. When Verlander is gone, you're going to have to bring in another big name pitcher. You're going to have to pay Fromber. You're going to have to pay Garcia. You're going to have to pay Alvarez, Urquidy. You're going to have to pay them. So you get, you know what, you save some money, and hopefully Jeremy Peña is going to be a good player for years to come. But you know what, these additions that James Click has to make, the Odorizzi, the Baez, these fill in guys that he's got to bring in, Goodrum, okay, a career 200 hitter that Dusty's putting in the three hole in some games. My goodness. You know, these peripheral guys, they actually play big roles. Baez is supposed to be a guy who was playing a big role. He was supposed to be your setup guy. That's a former closer, and it's just awful. That's, you know, while this was all in place for James Click, right now he's getting a failing grade for what he has done for this organization. Now it doesn't mean that he isn't going to. And listen, at the big decisions, that's Jim Crane. That's Jim Crane. You know, James Click isn't going to be able to make the big decision. We'll see how his draft picks are going to pan out here in the future. Now that he has first round picks again, we'll see how his draft picks are going to. But as far as his acquisitions for peripheral players, it has not been good. It just has not been good. And hopefully Norris is going to be a guy. We saw him in the Verlander game, and we've seen him so far. He looks like he's pretty good. That hopefully he's going to pay off. But that's one of a few that James Click has been able to put together. There's nothing wrong with this team. They were 5-4 on a road trip, right? I mean, they had a 9-game road trip to start the season, and against two division opponents, and then Arizona, whatever. Their hitting is on and off. Altuve looks lost at the plate. Maldonado might not get a hit this year.
Altuve's going to be fine. Listen, let's go to Alex Bregman, because if we need someone to calm us down and give us the real and give us some perspective, it would be one Alex Bregman regarding this 5-4 start. Alex?
Yeah, you know, it's just we're 9 games in and getting our feet on the ground, getting ready to go for a full 162. So, you know, obviously we would all love to get off to a fast start, but you know, it's a long season, and that's why you play 162 games, and I'm confident this team will be very, very, very good offensively this year.
Is the shortened spring training, is that having some effects right now, or is that a valid excuse?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say, you know, guys are doing a good job executing pitches against us. We're going to get back home. It's going to be nice to, you know, sleep in our own bed. Yeah, and just keep building off of it, you know. I mean, it's a long season. A lot of us are notorious slow starters, so give it time.
Yeah.
That's the most chill I've ever heard. Does that sound like Alex Bregman to you?
It sounds like Aaron Rodgers. It sounds like Aaron Rodgers after the first game against New Orleans.
The voice, I know, but the voice sounded different to me. I mean, Alex was chill after that game. He did say something. He's like, a lot of us are notorious slow starters. Alex Bregman.
Remember Tucker's start last year, and Tucker turned out to be one of the best hitters
slow
in the game.
That was like a 2-year slow
Altuve
start.
Altuve is off. Altuve just looks awful at the plate. Maldonado looks awful at the plate, but that's you're going to get that. But he's got to be better than 059. Tucker is gonna hit. I'm not worried about those guys. Jordan will come back, and he's going to mash, and he's going to be a big hitter. Altuve, I'm a little worried about, if you want to know the truth. Now, Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank hit it. As a matter of fact, Jeremy doubled down on it, I think, on Friday or Thursday, whatever the case may be, that Altuve is on the backside of his career. Agree or disagree?
I mean, yeah, I think if you just look at the sheer numbers of how long he's played, yeah, I mean, he's probably on the backside. He's 32 years old. He came into the league when he was 21. Like, he's definitely not in his prime. He has
past his prime.
You know, his last 200 hit season was 2017. He had four consecutive 200 hit seasons. Then he had a 169 hit season, but he had played 137 games, 124 games. Of course, 20, you know, was only 40 games. Last year he played 146, had 167. But I think that's a little overstated. The OPS is still, 839, I guess, is solid. Hit 278. From an average standpoint, from a just a pure batting average standpoint, yeah, I think there's a chance that Jose Altuve is on the backside of his career. He's played 11 years in the league. Yeah, he's going to be on the backside. What does that mean, though? I think Jose Altuve probably has, if you want to know the truth, 5 more years of baseball minimum. So I'm not expecting him to go away anytime soon. I think he'll play till he's 37, 38 minimum. I mean, I think that's going to happen. Am I worried about Altuve this year? I am not. I think Altuve has not been the same as 14, 15, 16, 17 for the last few years, and it's still really good, and he still hits home runs at critical times. So I'm not worried about Altuve. Altuve has not been the 200 hit MVP candidate for a while now. This isn't brand new. Altuve hasn't been that guy, but he's still a really good version of that player. So I'm not worried about that, and I'm not worried about a slow start for Jose Altuve. Why would he all of a sudden not be able to hit? He was okay last year.
No, he's going to be
278, 839 OPS. Hey. Now, last year, John, was the lowest OPS he's had since 2014 when he had an 830 OPS, but he also had 225 hits that season and 56 stolen bases.
Yeah. No. He was extremely productive. And we saw Jose Altuve. Remember Jose Altuve? It wasn't that long ago that he begged out of the two hole in the lineup because he was so bad.
That was a psychological thing, and that does bother me. That concerns me a little bit. I'll tell you what bothers me, John.
Dusty said no. But Dusty told him no. I'm not taking you out. No,
Dusty doesn't want him. But the mental thing does bother me a little bit when he had a psychological concern a little bit there, and we know he's taken undue heat for the Astros cheating stuff, which I don't know, you know, might play on him a little bit. Hears it at every stadium. You know, that may really bother his psyche that he didn't do really much at all of that stuff and gets all of the blame. But to bring back your point about James Click, see, this is a point that we have to make about James Click. Jose Altuve is not as good as he was, and he's still good. But for those guys who declined, for George Springer not being there, for Carlos Correa not being there, for this guy who leaves and that guy who leaves, it's James Click's job to make these small but important moves to keep everything going, working on time. His bullpen moves, his positional player moves, they need to keep the train rolling on time. And his moves are not doing that. That's the concern is, yeah, you don't have the money or Jim Crane's not going to let you make the big moves or whatever, but your job is to make, when you do make the little moves, do like Daryl Morey used to do. Do like Jeff Luneau used to do and add the pieces that keep the ship on on schedule. That's what you got to do. And his moves are actually having consequences to them right now. Baez is a consequential, you know, that's got consequences when you put him in the games. Jake Odorizzi has consequences. When
I don't know how
him.
Much longer you can put Baez in the game to tell you. He's got to go down.
I don't, I mean,
he
can't, if he can't, John, if he can't throw 93,
no,
Baez is throwing pus.
This has been over a year now. This is a year and a half of this is just over a year now.
Baez
not being there and wondering what the heck. First of all, COVID or whatever it was, or what, I don't know what problems he had last year. He wasn't around the whole year, and now he comes in this year and he can't bust a grape. That's a real problem. So because you were counting on Baez to be a part of this bullpen for 2 years, over a year now, and nothing. No. You got to give him credit for Kendall Graveman last year. You got to give him credit for Rafael Montero. We'll see how well Montero plays out. But Kendall Graveman was a nice acquisition. Of course, he was on. You know what? It was a guy that Seattle knew
he was
getting rid of him because he's going to move on.
Yeah.
And guess what? He moved on. So
I mean, he was good at the beginning. At least.
Yeah, he
Maybe
was good at the beginning,
at the
and then he kind of fell apart at the end. But Maton, if you're going to give him that kind of,
but those are important.
If you're
going to
give Click that kind of criticism,
yeah,
then
Maton,
you got to give him the love for Maton,
sure.
Because Maton was
sure.
unbelievable.
Maton, he deserves credit for.
But yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What his job is going to be. His
right.
job has got to be. He's got to, you know, he's got to make those moves. That's his job, is to make moves that look like just moves that end up being plus moves.
All right, so much stuff to talk about here. This one, it was a nice weekend of Jordan Spieth, of NBA playoffs, of Astros, of Verlander was the only nice piece. And the Astros are opening day tonight. How about this? You know, 11 days into the season, and the Astros finally, 12 days into the season, the Astros finally get their home opener. So that'll be nice tonight at Minute Maid Park. We'll talk about that, and we've got a whole bunch more. 713-780-3776. I'm on location at Herman Park. And for the Lucille's 1913 Big Dog Golf Tournament today, Lance is in Boston. So what we're going to do is we're going to have What Did You Learn This Weekend tomorrow while we're in studio. So we'll do that right here. In the meantime, though, Lance, what about your patio? What's going on with your patio?
Man, Texas Custom Patios. We're getting ready to start the entire build-out of the kitchen onto the existing patio. Now, that's what we're going to do. That's what I'm doing. But I can tell you right now, what you can do is have it built into your patio from the very outset. What Stephen Schell and his design team will do is they design the patio for you. They give you a CAD drawing so that this is as lifelike as you're going to find. It's unbelievable how realistic this rendering is. You'll see exactly what it's going to look like, where the TV goes, where the furniture is. You can see where they may have a plant or something like that. They really make it look like it's a lived-in outdoor living space, and the kitchen is brilliant. They can anything that they do, everything they do. You want a fire pit, you want something very specific built into your outdoor living space, they can do that for you as well. Anything you can conceive of, they can build for you with Texas Custom Patios. Make sure that you go to TexasCustomPatios.com, see the before and afters, and see what is possible at your space, at your home. They have financing available so you can get exactly what you're looking for. Pay it out over time, and then when it's time to sell your home, you're going to have the value that comes right back to you when it's time to sell. But you want the value of what it means to live in that outdoor living space and that beautiful oasis, and they can do that for you as well. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I hope y'all had a great Easter weekend, Passover weekend, Ramadan weekend. This was the holiest week of the year, Lance. I mean, everybody was, you know, celebrating most important events of the year. Did you see Adam Schefter's tweet?
I don't think so. Or would,
no,
was
here,
it
here's
yesterday?
Adam Schefter. Here's yesterday. Here's what Adam Schefter tweeted: Jesus Christ, a standout at Nazareth before struggling to catch on with the Jews and Romans, died last Friday when he got crucified on the cross outside of Jerusalem, per his disciple Matthew. But that was voided when his tomb was found empty today, per Mary Magdalene. So Adam Schefter had a tweet about...
That's brilliant. Who did that?
I don't know who did it, but it's
who did that?
The Yak.
That was really good.
The Barstool Yak retweeted
that
it.
That was really
That's
good.
Good stuff. Adam Schefter reporting
per
the
Mary Magdalene.
And per Mary Magdalene.
I tell you what, John, there is a, so I'm in Boston right now. There's a lot of I was walking
down to Catholic Church
on Saturday. Yeah, yeah. The cathedral down here. So
oh, you did? How was
Easter
that?
Easter Vigil. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Yeah. Wasn't that crowded, but on Easter Vigil. People don't like coming for the two and a half, three hours. So go figure.
Well, I mean, Boston got hit hard by the priest thing, so I don't know. Maybe they've lost quite a few.
Well,
Catholics.
It's a cathedral, and it's an Easter Vigil thing too. Like my wife goes every year to Easter Vigil. This just in, people would rather it. The churches are still packed on Sunday on Easter. It's Saturday. That's for the real ones. If you want to lock into a 2.5 hour Easter Vigil Mass, go ahead. You know how many people opt out of that one?
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock on a Saturday? Yeah, it's not full.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
You did that? The vigil?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Easter Vigil. It was because it was that or try to go Sunday in Boston where it's completely packed out. No thanks.
Oh, I do the Cajun version of that. It's called a crawfish boil on Saturday.
Yeah, no, it's we did the Easter vigil.
That's like 7 or 8 hours of nonstop working. So crawfish boil is so fun for me. That's what we did.
Yeah, it's just you're a worker, just like if you're on the pit for barbecue stuff. But but it is like it's a big time in Boston right now. You got everyone here for the marathon. Like 30,000 people hit the city. You've got the Bruins who are in the playoffs, and then you got the Celtics in the playoffs. So, and I'm telling you right now, we had this guy pick us up from the airport. My man Peter from over at Riel got us into a somebody from an Airbnb screwed us over. I say screwed us over. He claimed he has a health issue and he can't rent out the place that we had already, you know,
just to clean it up. The NHL playoffs haven't started yet, but go ahead.
Oh no! Okay, yeah. Then it's got to be right around the corner, right?
It's May 2nd. They start May 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's for so, whatever. They're a lot later than the NBA starts. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. So it's the back end of the season. Okay. Yeah. And anyway, this guy picks us up from the hotel. He picks us up at the airport, and I mean, he couldn't have been more Boston. It was great. He had the most, and then come the off color jokes, and I'm like, this guy's so on brand right now. He goes, "What do you call?" Hey, can you believe the Ethiopians are always – I can't do the accent. But he started, you know, he's just talking
Pac
about
–
how do the Ethiopians always win so many marathons? Have we figured that out at all? Have we figured it out? Like, what do you call Ethiopian with a sesame seed on his head? What? Quarter pounder, right? Because they're so light. They don't have any weight on them. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it just got – like – he had all these jokes, and every time you thought he was going to start with something serious, it rolled it into a punchline, and it was his name was Joe Rizzo. You know what? I recorded him some actually on my phone. Joe Rizzo. I need to send this to
who's Joe Rizzo?
Joe Rizzo was the guy who was driving my Joe Rizzo. Oh. This here, I tell you. Okay, you want to know who Joe Rizzo is? Is that what you just asked? This is Joe Rizzo.
In Texas, right. And I just thought of Ronnie Millsap.
Awesome.
Like from my.
Wait, hold on a second.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's so thin every time you drink tomato juice, it looks like a thermometer. good for you. I did that great. My wife says to me, "Joe, you got to get in shape." I said, "I'm round as a shape."
Joey got jokes.
Because you're going to the gym. What's the name of a bar?
You going to the gym if it's the name of a bar? Joey's got jokes for you. I started secretly recording them. Then he told me, "I love country music. I love the show Alabama. Great country music, Alabama. They say a lot of great messages." Hey, you ever heard what happens when you play? This, swear to God, he said this. I just didn't get it recorded. Or maybe I did. He goes, "You ever heard what happens when you play country music backwards? What happens?" well, your wife comes back, you get your job back, your dog comes back to life.
You would have loved him, Johnny. Kills.
Yeah, I love that. I love
Joe
that
Rizzo
joke.
Kills
no,
with
no,
his
no,
corny
I love
jokes.
Him getting a show. No, no, no. The Joe Rizzo.
But I mean, it is the extravaganza. Boston accents. I have not been disappointed by the thickness of the Boston.
So you're there for the your wife's going to run in the Boston Marathon despite her
knee.
She
headed there. Yeah, she headed there this morning.
But
the
she
knee
should be off
is
already.
A problem. No. She doesn't go until the third group. There's five groups. There's a billion people here, so she doesn't go until third group. So she takes off at 10 something Eastern, 10:45 Eastern. So
oh my God, so she's gonna hit the heat.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, yeah. The high gets to 48.
The Ethiopians will be finished in about 20 minutes. Okay.
I know. So me and Chris Solis, my buddy Chris Solis, is here in town. There, he and Heather, are here to support Nicole and people are walking by, like everyone has their Boston Marathon stuff off, right? They're trying to show off. They're just walking around the whole weekend, and so we're like trying to eyeball people's, times. I'm like, that's a 3:45 right there, and then this really pencil thin Ethiopian guy walks by, and Chris is like, 2:15,
maybe.
Like, I don't even know what the record is. I guess I said 2:04. I don't know, and this. And then a little bit, just a kind of just a thick leg. I mean, you qualify for Boston, you're pretty good. You got to qualify. It's not easy. And I'm like, this is a hilly track. I'm going 4 hours, 15 minutes there. We're not doing personal records on this one. So, but Boston is nice. So Boston's a great city. It's a great city, but it is, did you watch any of the playoffs?
I did.
Basketball game. The Nets tricked that off. Wow.
Right. Did they ever. We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll do NBA. If you got anything that you want to add, we're going to do what did you learn this weekend in one sentence tomorrow since we're in studio. I'm at Hermit Park. Lance is in Boston for the Boston Marathon supporting his wife. We're here supporting Lucille's 1913 big golf tournament. So we will tell you a little bit about that as we go along. We've got a nice show for you, too. We've got Ryan Wilson from CBS to talk NFL. Lee Ellis will talk about these NBA playoffs. And then Stephen Nesbitt to talk some Major League Baseball with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I want to talk about the Morley Law Firm. We had Arden Morley on. It's named after him. I've met David Falk. They've got other guys. They got one guy, Udo, He is all about immigration laws. And if you're having any kind of immigration problems right now, you want to talk to Udo and you want him to help you out. It doesn't matter what it is. They say habla español, but if you know what, you could be from Sweden here, or you could be from Italy or England, trying to get a visa to stay, trying to go to school, whatever the case may be, and they can help you out. If you're having problems right now with the government as far as any kind of la migra or whatever the case may be, if you're having some problems, they are here for you, the Morley Law Team. Now, they do everything, drug crimes, DWI, if you've got any kind of a, if you're facing any kind of sex crime or unlawful weapon crime, money laundering, whatever the case may be, who knows, either, even if you're guilty, if you're not guilty, you need representation. You need people who have been there, done that, and these guys have done it. And if you've been hit, if you've got any kind of personal injury, they do that as well. If you've got asbestos, medical malpractice, whatever the case may be, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, MorleyLaw.com, MorleyLaw.com, or you can give them a call. They are here for you. In a lot of instances, you're going to get a free consultation, and they'll tell you exactly how this is all going to work out for you. 713-839-9955, 713-839-9955, or MorleyLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, all game ones are in the books now. Opening weekend of the, well, basically the opening weekend of the NBA playoffs as we got all the play-ins done during the week. And let's start at the beginning, Lance, and give any impressions that you thought. The Jazz beat the Mavs, no Luka.
Mm-hmm. And, no Luka for game two, it looks like.
No, it looks like, again, that calf is really bothering him. And Donovan Mitchell just started horribly, but then he turned his game around. Ended up with 10 of 29 and 32 points, but he was just not good. You know, there's a Rudy Gobert in the middle is a difference maker. 99-93 was the final. That was just a battle. Mm-hmm. That was just a war. No Luka is a huge loss for them. And you know what? When we saw, I mean, you see the Nuggets without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter, and it's just it makes a huge difference. Now, that said, I don't know that either of those teams are Western Conference representatives in the NBA Finals, either of those two teams, but not having those guns really is a killer.
Yeah, you can't win without your best player. Like, you can't win in the playoffs, especially as an underdog. You can't win in a playoff without your best player. So you gotta have them. I mean, you gotta have them, and that's a big problem. Dallas is gonna get stomped. That one's not gonna be close. Especially if he misses the first two games. Even if he makes it back for three, he's not gonna be anywhere near 100%. So I don't see that one. I don't see that one being close. Last
They're
night,
not ready
Chris
yet.
Paul. No, no.
They're, you know, but you know what? They're a piece away. They are really. That's not a bad. Even without him, I mean, they fought and they clawed and they, you know, they've got some talent. They are one nice piece away from if they'd have gotten DeRozan or they'd have gotten C.J. McCollum, you know, I could certainly see this being much different for the Mavs. Now, I will say this. We talked about this. We talked about all year long how the East was fine and was better. I mean, you look at the 7, 6, 7, 8 teams in the East versus the West, and it's night and day. But the top of the West is probably better. The top of the West is really spectacular, is as good as it gets with the Suns. That said, the Grizz, what the heck? How in the world do they come out like that against the Timberwolves? Now, I know that they don't have any playoff experience. You know, that's the youngest playoff series ever, with the average age like 25 years old. Mm-hmm. This is the youngest playoff series ever between the T-Wolves and the Grizzly. The average age of the two teams is like 25 years old, which is that's just – and it showed. It really showed on the Grizz. The T-Wolves came out and just handed it to them, didn't they?
Yeah, they really did. And this is going to be – there's some interesting playoff series. I know a lot of people check out on the NBA if the Rockets aren't good, or check out on the NBA until the playoffs hit. The playoffs hit. We had the play-in tournament, which I still – you know, I'm in favor of the play-in tournament. I don't know what you guys' thoughts. RJ, you're back at the studio as our big hoop head. Are you – I'm okay with that. It keeps more teams – fan bases invested. It keeps more teams invested in the playoffs and in the regular season. And I thought there was some pretty good basketball in some of those matchups. So I'm okay with play-in series. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't have a problem with the play-ins. I think that it gives a little bit of parity to the league. You know, teams that you said should have made the playoffs if they had, you know, one or two pieces, or, you know, if injuries plagued them. Now they have this opportunity, and now you really think that you'll have the right teams in the playoffs that year. So I don't have a problem with having just a little bit more parity, a little bit more basketball in the NBA once we get down to playoff time.
Right. Well, there's 20 teams that make the postseason. So I mean, it's just – but I will say this. The crowd in Cleveland – was spectacular in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I mean, it was you know, they were into it. So really that good. was fantastic. I thought that, you know, how spirited it when we saw Pat Beverly win the NBA Finals, you know, standing on the table
in the play
and everything. Okay, so you got the T-Wolves, you got the Jazz winning, you got the T-Wolves winning, and then the 76ers. Now, James Harden played fine. It was Tyrese Maxey that was just unbelievable in that game. And, you know, I mean, they're calling that a big – is Tyrese – are James Harden, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey enough for is that a big three now?
Well, the problem you run into is, do you want to? You still have the same issues that we've been discussing now for 3 months. If you want to make them a big three, you're going to have to give James a max dollar deal for multiple years, for three,
I'm just talking
minimum
about this
of
playoffs.
3 years.
Just for this playoffs,
no, James isn't good enough, so it doesn't matter. I mean, so no, I don't think so. But the argument you make is, well, does James feel less pressure? Maybe. Because I'm a guy who believes, and I think this has been proven out, I think this is 100% lock. James is an alpha until he doesn't want to be. He's an alpha who doesn't like to smoke. So when it gets really tough, he doesn't mind handing a basketball to somebody else to make a shot because James doesn't deal with pressure well. This has been discussed ad nauseum this postseason, where every ESPN show has had the same talking point, the same conversation around this. But it's accurate. You and I have seen it enough to know. James doesn't really love when the pressure's at the hottest, he shrinks. He's a great regular season player, a great scorer, but now James is starting to decline. James has averaged 19 points a game over his last 10. He's shooting 37% from the field, 31% from three during that stretch. Yesterday, he was 6-17 from the field, but he was 4-7 from three, and he had 14 assists and one turnover. If James can be that guy, John, if Tyrese Maxey, who averaged a little over 17 a game this year, if Tyrese Maxey can take that next step, just like Siakam did back in, what was it, 19, where all of a sudden the postseason, like, holy crap, look at Siakam. If Maxey can take that step like Siakam, where in the postseason he becomes this new dude that he's been building towards, and James can take a lesser role, as long as James is cool, because there's no question that Embiid is the top alpha on the team. There's no question about pecking order. Embiid is a vocal alpha. So if James can step back and take on an assist role, that is interesting to me for James. Like, he's going to have to, in his own mind, wrap his head around the fact that he is second dog for sure, well, and there's no question
Embiid
about that.
Embiid was second dog. Embiid was third dog. The shot selected. Maxey had 21 shots. Embiid had James had 17, Embiid 15, and Tobias
in
Harris
that game.
14. Yeah, in that game. Now, I will say this, though, and smart move by Matisse Thybul averaged over 25 minutes a game. He cut him down to 19 because he knows he's not going to be there. This team is going to have to survive in Toronto without Thybul. So, cutting him back already.
He's not vaccinated, for those who don't know, and you can't.
Yeah.
Toronto,
so
you can't play in Toronto, right?
He can't play up in Canada, so he's not going to be able to go up there. So a pretty good move. And they dominated. I don't know that they're going to continue to dominate. The Raptors just looked like crap the other day. But they looked, the 76ers looked pretty damn good. And especially with the shot selection being between those four, pretty even. Although Maxey had the hot hand, so you keep feeding him, and James kept feeding him. So that was they looked great. You know who else looked great is the Warriors.
Hold on, let me get this joke off. Oh, you mean the Sixers who are playing the Toronto Raptors, right? No. Joseph Rizzo right here driving a car. Toronto Raptors versus Philadelphia 76ers. My wife says, "Are you going to the gym?" I says, "The gym a bar."
If that's the name of the bar,
what do you call an Ethiopian with a dime on his head? I don't want to know. Honestly, Joseph, don't finish that joke, sir. Sir, don't finish it. And he finished it. Don't worry.
I don't want to know the end.
But just quickly, I want to finish something on 76ers just for a second. Embiid is clearly the guy. If James can take that role, but I felt this way for a little bit about James. I felt it with the Nets. If James is willing to take a subservient role like he did the other day and let Maxey shine too, where two guys potentially can shine over him and he's a ball distributor, I mean, that opens up James's whole career. Now James has less value on the open market, but James had 14 assists on a turnover. That was really, really good. But Maxey's definitely going to be the key there. But you know, good luck beating Milwaukee. Giannis, even though Budenholzer, who benched Giannis late in the game in a weird move.
Well, he had five fouls. I get it,
but do you take him out defensively? You got to lead. Right. You got to try to stop baskets.
He's going to be more tentative. They're going to go right at him, and he's going to have to be tentative. I don't know. Listen, it worked out. They didn't score again. When he took him out, Bulls didn't score again.
Right. That was a weird situation. But to your point with the Warriors, they've got a new death lineup, And it's tiny, and it looks like a problem.
I think they're calling it the lethal lineup now.
Did they change it? Because the article
it's not
was
the death lineup. It's not.
You know what lethal means? Lethal means deadly.
I know it's deadly, but it's not lethal. But it's not the death lineup. Not the death lineup.
Why? What are we offending this time?
We're offending what Kevin is Durant. That's who we're offending.
Red River. Hoedown, showdown. What are we changing it to?
Well, it's what Steph Curry wasn't even in the lineup.
He is part of death. But he's part of death lineup. It's Steph Curry. Yeah. Steph Curry. Who is it?
Lyle. It's Klay Thompson. Poole. Looney.
Poole, yeah.
And Wiggins.
It's Mooney's in there.
Looney is in there. Yeah.
I mean, did I say Mooney? I'm thinking of Daryl Mooney. Yeah. So James Looney. So you got Looney. You got. Yeah, that's who it is. That's right.
And Wiggins.
Looney was the one I wasn't thinking of. And Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins is small.
Okay, Jordan Poole had a game. Let's slow down, okay?
Jordan Poole had a good game.
He had a great game. But let's slow down. Slow your roll a little bit about that. No, but we were talking about the top of the – I don't even know who's the best team in the West, if you want to know the truth.
Boston got away
with one against the Nets, and Boston has played great basketball.
Miami's the number one seed.
In the East, the Boston is the number two seed in the East. I guess though that's the top, but in the West, it's the Suns, it's the Warriors. I don't know.
Are the clear to me. The Suns are going to cruise.
How good is that series going to be? Warriors Suns.
Could be really really good. The Suns. I mean, they were crushing last night the Pelicans, and I went to bed trying to look, and my wife needed the lights off. She had to get ready for the marathon. It's 20 at halftime. They start the second half, turn off the lights, go to bed. And I wake up, and Chris Paul had to step up in the fourth quarter because the game got a little tighter. I don't know exactly how that happened, but I still think the Suns are going to cruise. I think the Suns will cruise in the West. But, you know, with Klay Thompson back and shooting the way he is, you just never know when those two guards are going to go off at any point and turn it into problems. But the Suns feel like they're on. I think we're rematching. I think it's Suns and Bucks again. They're just the steadiest units right now. I just think they're the steadiest units. Boston's been hot, but Boston lost their momentum yesterday at home. You had a big run where KD and the Nets, Kyrie and the Nets took over.
Yeah.
And then
that's the Nets, right?
That's a seven seed.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but I know it's a very dangerous seven seed. But KD, defensively, they did a great job of trapping him. Now, here's what's going to happen. The second game, you're going to see the Nets come with a completely different approach to get KD going. He only had 21. You're going to see a completely different approach. But Kyrie was red hot. But let's hear from Kyrie, because Kyrie Irving after the game was –
Let's do it on the other side. We're going to do that on the other side. Right
during the game, after the game, he's a little – I'm not sure Kyrie's really built for professional sports, if you want to be honest. As a player, he is, but he needs –
Well, let's not forget they got a special kind of hate for him in Boston after all that stuff.
True.
So they
that's
got
a good
that.
Point.
But right now, Craig DeSerf, we got a special kind of love for him.
Special kind of love for Craig DeSerf, especially when you have truck incentives going on, like $1,000 for accessory allowance for well qualified buyers and 0% financing. For well-qualified buyers, you get the $1,000 of accessory allowance that is available as well through the GMC side. The 0% financing is such a big deal right now because you see finance rates going up in many different areas from an economic standpoint. But 0% financing, you can still take advantage of 0% financing. And with Craig DeSerf and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, if you've been to another dealership, one of the things you're going to recognize is that some of these dealers are starting to take advantage of you and of the supply and demand. And what they're doing is they're really raising the prices above sticker price. And Craig DeSerf won't do it. He said, we will never go above MSRP, no matter what the supply and demand look like. We are never going to do that to our customers. So you're going to go in with an honest car buying experience, with a guy who is, that he's made it his life to wherever he has been. And there's only been two places over the last 20 years that I know of. And it's always the same thing. Make sure that you take care of the customer just like you're taking care of your own brother or sister or brother-in-law or your own mother and father. Make sure that it's that way. And that's why you've seen Altuve and Correa and a lot of those guys head on over to Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Take advantage of great offers, but take advantage of the great people there. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Start the car buying experience at LanceZCars.com.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here live at Hermit Park for the Lucille's 1913 big golf tournament, raising money, raising a bunch of money for the school. We'll tell you all about it in a little bit here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got our guys out here. Evan's over here. He's got stuff to give away. He will do that. Noah's over here. How was your morning, Noah? Noah, why don't you tell the people about your morning?
Yeah, so Lance, you'll get a kick out of this. Location here is Herman Park. I went to Memorial Herman thinking it was there.
That's
I
not Memorial Herman's that. A hospital. You went to Memorial Park.
I know, but
it's Memorial understandable. Park, Memorial Herman. Memorial Herman.
Totally
understandable.
He goes, he said, so he calls me. He goes, okay, where do you want to set up? While I'm on my way here to Herman Park, he calls me and he says, where do you want to set up?
Just there's a lot of people running here. Should I just go on the track or inside the track? Wait, what track?
What track? At Herman Park, people are running. I used to run. No. So I lived not far from here when we moved up to the first place over here in Montrose. And I used to run around Herman Park. I used to run around the golf. So that would have confused me. It wouldn't have confused me much. I would have said, I'm not by the people running. No. But so I get here, and I'm all by myself in here. And I go, well, I thought you were setting up. I call him. I called Noah. I said, I thought you were setting up inside. He said, I am. I'm inside. I'm saying, oh, well, you're in the wrong building here, but I don't know of any other buildings here. We're in the pro shop, you know, pro shop at Herman Park. He's like, Memorial Herman? No, Memorial Herman's a hospital. oh, crap, I'll be there. Bye. And he got here.
And he got here on time. He got there on time. Yeah.
So that was, I didn't know you were going to, man. You flew here. You must have been breaking some laws on your way here.
Yeah, so I left the other golf course at, 6:30? I got here at 6:43. I was set up by 6:53. So,
yeah, so he did it. He got the job done. That's pressure.
Handles adversity
and,
well.
You know that ride. You know that ride, Lance, when you go to the wrong place and you're
ride? Need some help from
like
lights.
When the lights come on, when the cop lights come on right behind your car, that little feeling that you get.
That's a bad
that
feeling.
One.
I know.
Yeah,
or when you recognize there's more light outside than you're used to and you realize, it's a PM on my phone instead of AM. My alarm didn't go off. The phone's alarms. My wife is so paranoid about not waking up for the Boston Marathon that she had my alarm. We had an Alexa in the room get set, and she had me call that her alarm was on, and she had me call down for a wake-up call. I was like, Nicole, we have three alarms set. It's not past. Do you even care about me running this? I'm worried about this. I'm like, so I called downstairs. Do you guys even do calls to rooms anymore, wake-up calls? Is that even a thing anymore? Yes, it is. We can do it. What time? I'm like, whatever time I said. I think it was 6:45 Eastern. They go, yeah, we still do those. Not often, but we still do them. I say, yeah, I bet not often. She goes, well, since people have phones and the Alexa in their room. Yeah, I know, ma'am.
Yeah.
I know, ma'am.
So before we went to break, you talked about Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie. Well, so here's the thing. Kyrie, now, he went from Cleveland to Boston, right? And Boston was never the same when Kyrie got there. Kyrie is a guy who I believe just doesn't handle – I don't think he's really built for public scrutiny at all. He is very, very sensitive. We've seen him just kind of take off time from – when January 6th happened at the Capitol, he had to take some time off to process. Kyrie took time off for mental health during pandemic. Kyrie didn't go to the bubble and then tried to
completely subvert the bubble attempt to play bubble basketball. He tried to get enough people to shut it down because he was mad that they wouldn't let him go hang out in the bubble without playing because he opted out. Kyrie is Kyrie's just a little different. They're better off without.
He is an unbelievable talent. He's taken most of this year off, and it's really showing how the energy that he has. He's been great. Kyrie has been.
He's talented, man. He's a really talented. He's a really talented player. I think his histrionics on and off the court sometimes, and some of the things he says, and some of the, you know, he feels like he's persecuted at all times, and he is a, you know, a martyr for basketball, which is just it's tired in this day and age with how much we have to. Everyone as a person on this earth has to deal with, it seems like, on a daily basis. Kyrie's act gets tired to me because I don't need – Kyrie, I know you think you're larger than life and you're this martyr. I've got too much going on in my life to deal with you. But he's an extremely talented basketball player. He had a monster game yesterday. He brought him back from being down into the lead and looked like they were going to be able to kind of boat race that thing to the end, and then they, you know, they lost that lead. And – he ended up losing, and he had exchanges on the court. He shot double birds to the Boston fans. The Boston fans, I remember he went to Boston. Boston was an up-and-coming team before he got there. He got there, just kind of messed up the chemistry, really for more than a year, I think for at least 2 years. Then he left, and they were, and frankly, they're better off now without him. He had a great game. So here's Kyrie talking to a reporter. After a game, he's walking down the tunnel. I saw this video, too. Somebody goes, "Kyrie, you suck." And then he said, "Bleep my bleep." He told that guy to bleep his bleep. And so Kyrie doesn't deal with fans, you know, going at him at all. Well, here's Kyrie talking to a reporter about the hostility of the Boston fans who once cheered him when he was a Celtic.
To that point, do you feel like the hostility that you get still?
Let's not focus on this. Like, ask me questions about the game. Like, it's not about the fans. The fans aren't playing.
From a basketball standpoint,
yeah.
Do you feel like the hostility you get?
There's no hostility, bro. It's basketball.
When you were flicking some people off, I'd say that's some hostility.
From what? What point? Are you guessing that that's hostility? Or, like, hostility for me is, like, growing up.
Well, we've never seen that from you this season where you are running down the floor flicking people off.
This is the first time you actually caught it because it's a big-time game. I respond in different ways. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to focus on that. If you want to ask me questions about the fans, go ask them. Go on the street and ask them questions. All right?
But I'm asking from your perspective, from a basketball perspective, do you feel like the hostility that you get...
It's not hostility, fans, bro.
Do you feel like the energy you get from fans in this building brings
embrace
out
it.
The best from you?
Embrace it. Embrace it. It's the dark side. Embrace it.
He is such a Christ figure. That old Kyrie Irving boy, it's just – it's the first time that they've caught me flipping off the fans. It's the dark side. Embrace it. I give him credit. I give him credit for trying to deflect in that question about the fans and not – that apparently he didn't have hostility. Now, I can tell you, if I tell somebody to bleep my bleep, there is hostility involved with that.
Oh,
if I tell
on,
you to bleep my
there's
bleep,
no hostility. Stop.
Well, I'm just telling you for
so
me.
Full of crap. I'm just so sick of just say what it is. I mean, they hate me, and you know what? I'm giving it back to them. Stop already. There's no what hostility, bro. What are you talking? Oh, you know, I have love for it. Shut
well,
up.
Well, you flipped your
you, know
you flipped your fingers.
I'm so sick of these guys. I'm so sick of the bull, the lies. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them. I mean, it's just so much – bro, you don't know what you're talking – this is basketball, bro. Shut up. Shut up. They hate you, and you know what? And they say – and you hate them back. You're flipping them off. You're saying it's S-M-I-D. You're saying, you know, E-A-D, all of these things. You know what? And you're pissed off, and you're behind – did you see him when he's standing? He's about to take the ball out. He puts both of his hands behind his – and flips and gives the fingers to all the
well,
fans
that's first
back
time
there.
You caught it.
Yeah, that's
he
the
said
first
that's the first time you
no,
caught
bro,
it.
No, bro, this is the first time. No, whatever. Stop. I'm so sick of these guys that they're so full of crap.
Well, let's hear from Kyrie Irving second on the fans and his reaction. Is this the same one or is this a shorter version of it, RJ, the second soundbite? Is that a different soundbite? Does he keep going?
No, it's completely different.
Okay, well, let's listen to this one. Here's a second. Here's a different conversation.
Look, I'm just where I'm from. You know, I'm used to all these antics and people being close nearby. You know, it's nothing new when I come into this building, what it's going to be like. But it's the same energy they have for me, and I'm going to have the same energy for them. And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan. But when people start yelling and you and all this stuff, it's but so much you can take. As a competitor, and you know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, that's the playoffs. This is what it is. I know what to expect in here, and it's the same energy I'm giving back to them. It is what it is. I'm not really focused on it. It's fun. You know what I'm saying? And like again, this, where I'm from, I've dealt with so much. So coming in here, you relish it as a competitor. And this, you know, I'm gonna keep repeating myself when I say again, but this isn't my first time in TD Garden. So what you guys saw and what you guys think is as entertainment, or the fans think is entertainment, all is fair in competition. So if somebody's gonna call me out of my name, I'm gonna look at them straight in the eye and see if they really about it. Most of the time they're not.
Now that's an answer. That's an answer.
Yeah,
I'd rather with all the BS. That was true. Mm-hmm. That was exactly. Mm-hmm. I can't bring the energy. I'm giving it back to him.
Yeah, okay? He did give you the
that's
words.
That's an answer.
He did show you his when the words they expect us to be docile and humble. No one expects you to be docile, bro.
Here's the deal, though, Lance.
No, he's got to catch a 25K. That's it. You can't flip off. You can afford it. You can flip off the fans. That's fine. If you do it, no matter what, it's still a fan. The fans pay the tickets and all that stuff. You got to pay the fine. That's it. But you want to flip the fans off? Flip the fans off. But like he said, this is just the first time you caught it. He told the other reporter, no, that's just the first time you actually seen it. Caught me flipping off the fans. I mean, if he wants to flip off the fans, I don't care. Pay your fine. I don't care. But it's just, like I said, with Kyrie, all this stuff ends up overshadowing sometime the games and his comments off the, you know, it started off with his flat earth Kyrie, and I'm like, well, that's a different kind of guy here. He's watching YouTube videos and thinking there's a flat earth. That was before I really realized, remember, that was a while back before I realized how many people were goofy on conspiracy theories, where I realized, oh my God, a lot of people are stupid.
No question. All right, we got to take a break. 801 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 live from Herman Park Golf Course for the Lucille's 1913. We'll tell you about that a little bit later in the show. And still ahead, we got a lot of interviews coming up. Ryan Wilson is going to join us in about 15 minutes here. But when we come back, Lance, a little Astros baseball as they open it up without Trout. We'll tell you why on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about all my people over at HRMP, and I love what HRMP does for us because, you know what? It's because of HRMP, I get my paycheck every 2 weeks right here. Well, we get it in the first and the 15th. That's how we do it. How do you want to do it? Do you want to do it every 2 weeks? Or do you want to do it the 1st and 15th? You can do it that way. You want to do it a weekly basis, you can do that. However, you want to pay on a monthly basis. You got your commission checks that are going to be difficult. No problem for HRP. Everything. Oh, it doesn't matter what it is. It changes. I mean, they were working with Prime Social before, and the dealers get paid differently by how they sign into tournaments, and it's a big complicated deal. Not a problem for HRP. It doesn't matter what it is. HRMP is going to find a way. They've got the technology, the computer system that is just unbelievable. And yours could be infinite. I mean, so technologically difficult. No problem for HRMP. And you know what? You're probably spending a lot of time with your payroll people in that office wasting hours and not doing it as efficiently as HRMP can do it, because they do it efficiently. They'll customize a plan for you no matter what it is. No matter what your business is, they will customize that plan for you. Find out for yourself. You're looking for a great, great payroll company, we got one for you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports.